Hello, everyone. Let me get all my screens together. We got a big Q&A day ahead of us. Y'all gonna be excited. We got some announcements. We got the fun announcements today. These are the kind that we all love because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, let me find it. Let me pull up my notes. Corinne can't be. There's some things I can just talk off the top of my head, but like big announcements, it's a no. Let me get those pulled up while y'all get in here. I hope y'all are having a good day. It is going to rain two straight days here in Nashville, which is crazy in the winter. We've gotten so much moisture this year. All right, so here's what I'm going to do today. I want to announce the winners of Taking Big Ass Action. I also need to go ahead and get pulled up on stage, Coach Betsy. Let's promote her. And our one of our newer coaches, Coach Christy, is here today too, learning how to answer questions in Q&A and how to do the chat for all of you. So if you will make sure that if you have a question today about taking action, that you put it inside of the Q&A box, and then they will save me the questions that are good for the group. If it's something very specific to you, they will answer it directly to you, which will be lovely and nice. And then I will do everything else. So if you're a brand new member to NoBS, this is called a Q&A call. This is optional while you are taking the NoBS course. So I always prefer that when you are inside of NoBS, that you prioritize getting through the NoBS weight loss course first. You save these types of calls for later. They will always be here in replays. There's one every single Wednesday. You ain't gonna miss jack shit if you ain't here. The course is the most important. So no matter what in NoBS land, we all live and breathe that we have to go through the NoBS weight loss course at least a few times to be able to get this shit down straight. Also, if you're here and you have not made a 24-hour plan yet today, do not sit on this Q&A and listen to shit and not have a plan for what's going to go in your mouth for the rest of the day. Get off the Zoom call, make a 24-hour plan, come back. You can show the usher at the door that you got your 24-hour plan made, and then we will welcome you with open arms into some VIP seating. But you need to have your 24 hours plans made every single day. This is the month we're talking about taking big ass action. Let me just tell you, part of like half-assing is showing up to a Q&A and sitting there going like, sure wish I could lose weight. I love listening to Corinne, but you know, I don't feel like making that plan. I don't give a shit if you feel like it. You shouldn't either. What if your partner said, I just don't feel like doing the trash. I just don't feel like telling you I love you. I don't feel like buying you gifts for your birthday. You'd be like, motherfucker, what you talking about? We don't wait till we feel like doing things or we will be waiting forever. You know what we do? We respect the part of us that's lazy. You got a habit brain that's a lazy motherfucker sitting back there all the time. It ain't ever going to feel like doing shit most of the time until you've done it so many times that it quits fighting and it looks for something else to not feel like doing. So we don't wait till we feel like it. We just do. We do it until we do feel like it because we've seen that it works, because we've proven to ourselves that it helps. If you want to believe in the 24-hour plan, if you want to feel confident in it, if you want to start liking it, if you want to do all that stuff, you got to do it enough. And let you see yourself learn, let you see the ease and stuff, and then you'll feel like it. All right, with that out of the way, this is Taking Action, Big Ass Action Month. I rewrote this entire program from the ground up. I took what was amazing from the last one and just blew it out of the water. So make sure that you go to the website, brand new videos, brand new workbook, excellent, excellent, excellent. For you, if you are someone who gets overwhelmed easily, there's two kinds of people, overwhelmers and underwhelmers. And I teach you about that in the program. There's just a lot that goes on in there. So this week, we're really going to be studying what's the difference between big ass action and half ass action. And we're going to be talking about overwhelmers versus underwhelmers. So that is what you'll learn. I beg of all of you, you know how enthusiastic and how motivating it was to just step into the Facebook group last month and be like, oh my God, everybody just working. I love it. I'm learning things. I'm seeing people. I'm going to ride their coattails of motivation and momentum, and I'm going to do some work. I will bet you at some point, if you are a Facebook user, you went to that group kind of feeling like, I don't know, and saw what people were learning and doing as we did Mission Possible, and you ended up pushing play. Well, guess what? I want all of you to keep that same type of level of enthusiasm going this month, which means you need to go to the group and you need to use hashtag this big ass action. I want to see pictures of plans. I want to see worksheets completed. I want to see you and your cat watching my videos. I want, when you say you took big ass action, I don't want to just know you did it. I want to know what you did, what you got out of it, and why somebody else should be doing it too. We are going to, as a group, kick ass this month. And that's how we're going to roll. All right. We also have the Move Your Body Challenge going alongside a big ass action, because one of the best ways to start doing things when you don't want to is to do something small and to tackle it and to show yourself that you can. So we picked movement this month. So you have a little calendar. You have all kinds of goodies that the team put together for y'all. It's beautiful stuff. Go visit all of it. But we start with 10 minutes this week of doing something. So that is your baseline movement. If you are somebody who's not been working out, then what you're going to do is you're going to start doing 10 minutes a day of some type of movement. Now, I don't give a damn what your condition is. Everybody can do something for 10 minutes a day. I want to give a shout out to Mickey, who y'all just need to, like, if you want to like read some inspiration, go to the Facebook group, type in M-I-K-K-I. You will find Mickey's posts. She is so motivating. She is working so hard on her life, and she could use all of us to keep cheerleading her along. But she has quite a bit of weight to lose, but she is in it to win it. She is in a chair, and she had made her goal last month that she was going to get 1,000 steps in. And she's not been able to walk much, but she wanted to get 1,000 steps in every single day. This month, she's working on 1,100 steps every single day. So cheer on people like Mickey. For some of you who can't walk, chair yoga. Sit there and do deep breathing. Move your arms up and down for 10 minutes and just stretch in your chair, whatever you got to do. But move your body to start teaching yourself, I can do things I don't think I can. I can do things when I don't believe in it. I can do things when I don't feel like it. It's just a decision. It's a decision to override my bullshit. It's a decision to know I'm thinking these things, but that doesn't mean I can't do it. It just means my brain's not on board just yet. So I'm going to bring all my bullshit along with me. Yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of No BS, of when we founded. And I went live real quick inside the group to talk about how No BS started and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things I was saying that I think is so important when it comes to taking big ass action is that I just don't know, at least in my circle of team who's lost weight, a single one that said, you know what? I've never been able to lose weight before, but when I started this time, I was 100% convinced it would happen for me. What every single person I know who's lost weight, including myself, says, I didn't think I could do it, but I just got started. And I started doing things. I was convinced I'd never lose my weight. Like, these are the thoughts that I had on day one through about day. It took me 18 months to lose my weight. It took me at least halfway before I started to think I can do this. The first half, the majority of the time, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think I can, but Like, I'm going to get in there and try. I'm going to get in there every day and see what I can do. It's a little bit better. So most of my thoughts were things like, I've just never been able to lose weight. You know, obesity runs in my family. I've always been overweight. I have failed everything I've ever tried. That was what I would say. Just because you have that thinking doesn't mean that that is what will happen. It just means my current thinking is this. But if I want to get to where I want to go, I got to add new thinking along with it. Which means every time I thought I've never been able to lose weight, I had to say like, but today there are some things that I can do. When I would think obesity runs in my family, everybody in my family was overweight. Except for my brother and my grandfather, everybody had a weight problem. And I mean, like, I've had like uncles who have weighed 400 and 500 pounds. I have my mother, you know, like mama got up way over 300 pounds. You know, I'd been 250. My daddy is over, like, all over the board. And I would think obesity runs in my family. And then I'd say, and I want different for Logan. You ain't got to stop the doo-doo train of thoughts that are coming in, y'all. But you can't just let them be the only thing you think about. For a long time, you have to teach yourself how to have that and this. And you walk around with both of them. I tell y'all all the time, I don't give a shit what you think. What I do give a shit about is, what is the last word going to be? Is the last word going to be decisive, purposeful, intentional? Or is the last word going to be like, obesity runs in my family, and that's why I can't ever lose weight? Every one of you is going to have an and after it. So just make sure that and whatever comes after that sentence is helpful, not helpless. All right. Tomorrow, Coach Judith is going to be, that will be February 3rd at 6 p.m. Central Time. She is going to be going through the main takeaways from Taking Big Ass Action Lesson 1. She's going to do an interactive call, and she's going to help you redefine all of your whys. Because we talk about that in the program, about how getting those whys locked in and established are important. So Coach Judith will be working with all of you through that tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central Time. All right, let's celebrate Mission Possible. We had over 4,000 of you fill out the survey alone to complete Mission Possible. Yeah, that's fucking amazing. Like, if y'all don't know, to get people to fill out a survey is awful. If you get 10% of the people that you send an email to do it, you're considered baller status. That's almost, well, it's not half, but that's like 30 something percent of the members decided to send a survey in to let us know. So here were some of the quotes. Kelly B, who's one of our No BS women in maintenance, she said, I was so excited to go through No BS again. It made me realize how far I've come. Listening again brought to the forefront the 1% changes I've made over the last 3 years that got me to the goal and that will keep me in maintenance for the rest of my life. Nikki C, who thought she's too busy to do it again, which some of y'all might want to think about as you're thinking, I'm too busy to take big ass action. Bullshit, you are. This was the best challenge yet. When I heard it was in January, I thought, no way I can go back through No BS. I'm an accountant. We're swamped for the first quarter. But I did it. I didn't finish until January 30th, but I got there. Thank you. And Catherine, who's been a member for a year now, said it wasn't until taking this course again that I realized how much my mindset has changed in the last year. I'm a totally different person than I was when I first signed up. This month taught me so much, and I actually lost over 8 pounds just redoing No BS. I look forward to seeing where this new mindset can take me. All right. Here are the winners. So the 10 Corinne prize pack. So we're going to send you a box of shit I love is Barbara, Chris John, Sierra Barsoni, Emily King, Julie. Woo, this is a good last name. Cruikshank. Probably going to butcher some names there. Michelle Pitcock, Leanne Brown, Samantha Schneider, Mega Bynum, Laura Zlotkin, Diane Boucher. If y'all think we picked for names, it ain't that. Y'all won the 10 prize pack. So we will be emailing everyone. So don't worry. You don't have to be on this call to find out. Also, if you are Jennifer Bass, you won a Peloton bike or treadmill. If you are Christine Doran Blankenship, your accountability group won the Airbnb package. If you are Kim Nemeth, you won a VIP Nashville camp package. And if you are Wendy Guida, you just won 3 months of private coaching for all. We had a bonus prize for surpassing the 100,000 goal getter gauge points. So we will reach out to everyone, but those are our prize winners. Congratulations. It was a fun month. I mean, come on, y'all. Just a fucking fun month. I loved it. But this month, we're going to kick some straight ass and we're going to move our bodies and we're going to roll up into March ready to go. All right. Now we're going to talk about something that that I've never taught before, brand new for all of you. I was thinking about like the basics, and y'all know me. I love exercise, and it has been a pivotal part of my own transformation. Not only was it like walking for me was the first doable thing that I thought I could do on my weight loss journey. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to change my eating. So I knew that I needed to start feeling better. My mindset needed a shift, and walking was going to be the thing for me. And then as I was losing weight, I realized how much I dreamed when I was a kid of being the person who could exercise and play sports. And I was never that girl. I was benched in PE. I didn't get to play sports. You know, the only time I got to watch sports was when I would go to games and see my baby brother playing. My baby brother was very athletic and very talented, and I just wasn't. And so when I started to lose weight, I remember sitting in my mother-in-law's kitchen. My brother-in-law was an Ironman triathlete, and he was training for another Ironman. And I just thought that was fucking amazing, like amazing. And I remember looking at Jeff and talking to him about how I'd never been able to run, that I'd never played sports. And it's so funny because, you know, Chris was the one that originally believed in me before I believed in me. And I remember Jeff, this is Chris's brother, just looking at me and saying, "Why don't you just pick a race and sign up and train for one?" Like, I was like, "What do you mean?" Like, I literally looked at him like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "People like me can't do those things." He's like, "Sure you can." And I was like, "That's only for really fit people." He was like, "No, it's not." He said, "There's no such thing." He was like, "If you want to do this, you should do it. And you should do it because you want to. You shouldn't sit back wanting something and not do it." And I mean, like, I'm not kidding. You know, like in cartoons, like, remember the old Looney Tunes where they would like step on a 2x4 and it would just slap them in the face? That's about how I felt. Like somebody had just took a 2x4 and hit me upside the head. I was that shocked that somebody like me, I might have lost 20 pounds at that point. I was probably about 230, maybe a little more. And he was encouraging me to sign up for a race, to train for things, to do stuff like swim and bike, which I'd never done. I hadn't been on a bike since I was 9. And then right after that, my best friend, when I told her about it, she was like, "I'll go to races with you. I've been wanting to get back into," she'd always been a runner. She'd been wanting to get back into them. She's like, "I'll go with you." I was like, "Oh girl, you'd have to wait for me forever." And she was like, "I'll bring a book." Like, my mind was finding all the problems. My mind was using my fear and my mind was using my old thinking. Their brains were using the thinking that was like, well, if you want to do this, here's how you need to think about it. And that was some of the times when I started really realizing to get what I wanted, I had to quit sitting back and just believing the crap I was telling myself. I was going to have to be brave, courageous. I was going to try shit. I was going to have to probably be mortified. And I was mortified almost all the time. I remember always apologizing to my girlfriend because, you know, Chris wasn't going to go to races with me. Chris may have seen me cross the finish line about three fucking times. In fact, the biggest races I've ever done, the ones I'm most proud of, Chris was at home. He was like, what do you mean battle traffic, stand at a finish line? I'll get hot. I've always done them on my own. I've always showed up by myself. Sometimes I would have some friends, but I would tell you about 75%. I've done 8 Tough Mudders, which are terrible races. Just look them up on the internet. I have done the Dopey. Look that up on the internet. Terrible race. 4 straight days, a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a marathon done over 4 days in Disney. You feel like ass at the end. I have done so many big events without requiring anything other than me showing up for me, not needing others to do it, not needing a cheerleading squad. It was through exercise that I really learned how to be a cheerleader for myself. It taught me I didn't need to wait on people to support me. I had to support me. And this is why I want to give y'all this gift. And so I was thinking about, I was actually invited to be on Jill Angie's podcast, Not Your Average Runner. And we recorded this podcast. She had this idea. She's like, Karina, you got the 4 basics of, you know, weight loss. Have you ever thought about the 4 basics of exercise? I was like, fuck no, I haven't. But that's a brilliant idea, Jill Angie. And I wrote them. And the good news is you're not going to have to learn anything different because the 4 basics of exercise are literally exactly the same to lose your weight, just with a different spin. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the 4 basics of exercise because a lot of you really want to get into exercise. You're wondering about like, what is this don't stop believing race that y'all are having in June? You'll get information about don't stop believing on March 1st. But before you get that, where you can sign up to do our race, let me just tell you how it will work. We're not giving out any information other than this. So don't be writing in to us and asking on Facebook a bunch of questions because we're still working out lots of details with like the all kinds. I'm not even going to go into it. It's going to be a timed event, which means that does not mean you have to finish in a certain amount of time. You're going to pick your poison. Do I want to learn how to run or walk or bike for 1 hour, for 2 hours, or for 3 hours? I don't give a damn how much distance you cover at all. This is one of the things that I wanted to be able to do that makes this event special. I want you focused on moving your body for a certain amount of time, not trying like, well, I feel like shit because it takes me so long to do a half marathon. I've already gone through all the shittiness of being slow. This one doesn't matter how fast you go. It's your race, your pace. It matters about like, I'm going to learn how to move for 1 hour or move for 2 or move for 3. And we're going to give you training plans and all kinds of stuff. So this month we picked moving your body as a challenge because some of you need to debunk that there are things you can do with your body. And we're doing it time-based for this very reason. So that by the end of February, you'll know, do I want to do Don't Stop Believing? And you can come here and do it, or you can do it virtually. And that's all I want to say about it. But we are now going to talk about the 4 basics of exercise. Basic number 1, I got notes. Let me put my notes up. Basic number 1, which is the most important one, is water when it comes to exercise and fueling. Everybody drink some fucking water right now. Like, it literally is that important. So when I teach you the four basics, when it comes to weight loss, you know, your body needs to be hydrated in order, like it will help you not only lose weight, but it helps your body flush out toxins. It helps cut down like sugar cravings. It gets rid of your faux hunger, things like that. In exercise, water becomes extra important. When you are exercising, you are losing water. And you all of us lose about 100 ounces a day. We lose it through our urine. We lose it through our breathing. But we lose it through our skin. We don't know that we're doing it, but your body has little bits of water that it's losing all the time. And because when it hits the air, it evaporates so much, you don't realize the amount of water you're losing. So when you're exercising, you're not only losing what you normally lose, but you're also now sweating. And so you're losing extra. And so you really have to make sure that you're drinking water just to keep hydrated, but also when you exercise, whether it's walking, strength training, yoga, doing anything, you are tearing your muscles apart. So I want you to think about your muscles. They'll get shredded while you work out. Your muscles are just full of fibers everywhere. The only way that they repair is to be filled with every shred. They're like a big ass dry sponge until you put some water in there. And so you'll have shred, 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 shred. Well, you won't repair unless you have water. And the more water you put in, the faster your body kicks into gear to make sure that it's repairing. And the faster that it repairs, the faster you're ready to do more training. One of the things that slows people down the most in their training, so like you'll start exercising, you won't drink enough water, then you'll start noticing workouts get harder, you're getting slower, you're not as strong. And a lot of times it's because you're staying chronically dehydrated. So if you don't remember anything when it comes to the four basics of exercise fueling, water is king. Your body needs it for energy to be able to sustain itself through workouts. It's like I can go out for a long walk on a hot day and forget to take my water with me. The first like 30, 40 minutes, I'm just like, this is great. That last 20 minutes of fucking slog, I start noticing I can't wait to get home. I'm tired. My pace is slowing down. It's because I don't have enough water. And so when you're doing exercise, it's just important to drink it alongside while you're doing it. Now, I drink a mix called Extend, X-T-E-N-D. Y'all are always asking, what's that blue stuff in her water? You do not need to drink it, but it does have electrolytes and it has branched chain amino acids in it. All branched chain amino acids are BCAAs. They are the building block proteins that just help your muscles. So I flavor my water with it. It tastes good. Nobody needs to do it. But if you're like the kind of person like, I don't know about that water, Corinne, I drink the grape flavor. So you can like flavor your water if you need to, but you do need to be getting it in. And you need to not only replenish what you normally do for the day, but when you start exercising, you need to uptick your water intake. I normally drink 3 of these a day. When I am training harder, which I am now, I move this up to 4 because my workouts right now are about an hour a day. So I'm either strength training, running or biking about almost an hour a day because I'm training for a half marathon. In a couple of weeks, I'll have those hours and then I'll have 2 runs that will start switching over past the hour mark. Once I go past the hour mark, guess what? I'll probably need to drink 5 of these a day. How do you know if you're getting enough water? You check your urine. You want it to be pale yellow. If it's pale yellow, when you go to the bathroom, you're good to go. If it's not pale yellow, you need to up your ante. All right, that's water. The second one is sleep. And I'm actually teaching these in the priority in which they come. So when you are an exerciser, you must prioritize your sleep. You must do this. So you want to get that 7 to 9 hours. When my training is heavier, I need 9. And so I go to bed earlier. Last night I was asleep at 7:45, drooling. I woke up at 8:30, just drooled everywhere. And I looked at Chris and I was like, why do I drool first thing when I fall asleep? Because I always do that. I go to sleep, I drool, I wake up, clean that up, and I'll do it for the rest of the night. Who knows? So you want to make sure that you're getting plenty of sleep and that you're prioritizing. So as you move and as you move more, you can't afford to be a jackass with your sleep. You just can't. What sleep does is your muscles. So when you work out and stuff, these are liter bottles. Somebody asked how much is in my bottle. It's a liter. So I drink anywhere from 3 to 5 liters a day of water. So when you go to sleep, that is when your body actually repairs muscles. So water is required to repair them. And sleep is when the repair process takes place. Your body switches over from trying to like keep you going all day to, all right, now we're going to work extra hard. Your body works incredibly hard at night. It reorganizes all of your thinking. That's why so many of us wake up first thing in the morning with our ideas. It's the time when we can get a lot of work done, that kind of thing. It also goes through your body and it repairs the damage you've done for the day. So if you went out and did a run, if you did a bike, if you lifted weights, if you did yoga, if you swam, if you did water aerobics, whatever floats your little boat. At night is when it takes your muscles, and if they're well hydrated, it goes ham on putting things back together. And when it puts things back together in your sleep, it puts things back together so you can be faster and stronger, more athletic, and ready to go for your next workout. When you shirk your sleep, you start noticing injuries. Your injuries are your body's way of slowing your ass down because you're not probably resting and recovering enough. So you want to guard against that. It also gives energy to workouts. So I want you to remember, like, gains happen when I prioritize my sleep. I would rather all of you do less workouts, like have 3 quality workouts a week and prioritize sleep 7 than to work out 6 days a week and to be grinding out your sleep and not getting it just to get those workouts in. That's how valuable sleep is to someone who's training. That's how valuable it is when you move your body, sleep is. But learning to prioritize your sleep, learning how to get better quality sleep. For a lot of you who don't sleep well, there are, like, you go Google it. There are thousands of tips, but I will tell you the prime number one tip that I have for getting better quality sleep. And nobody's going to like it. You're all going to bitch and moan and be like, that's always your answer, Corinne. Get a fucking journal out. You know why most of y'all ain't sleeping good? You waking up in the middle of the night worrying. You waking up in the middle of the night thinking about what you got to do the next day. You're waking up in the middle of the night thinking about how little sleep you're going to have and how bad it's going to be for you. Y'all need to journal more. I'm telling you, I don't ever have a day where I have not journaled my thoughts, where I don't have a plan for my week, where I'm not like, I keep things written down because my brain knows once something's written down, once things out on paper, it doesn't have to ruminate on it anymore. When you don't journal, this is what your brain thinks. We really need to worry about this problem. And I need to ruminate and I need to stew. And anytime this bitch has a quiet moment, I need to frit it. I need to worry. I'm going to forget something. I need to worry about what I said earlier in the day. I need to do all this. If you don't like what you said to somebody, write about it so that your brain doesn't think it needs to obsess over it. If you're afraid you're going to forget shit, journal and plan when you're going to get things done and keep a container for it and then put a place on the calendar. Then your brain's like, oh, I don't have to worry anymore about if I'm going to get this done. I put it on my calendar. calendar at 3 o'clock on this day. I already know when I'm going to. It makes your brain not need to wake you up in the middle of the night. Because what happens is in the middle of the night, when your brain starts remembering things and it's like worries and doubts and insecurities that you're not resolving on paper. Well, when you start in the middle of the night, it's like, hey, I'd like to think about it now. I just want to make sure that we're doing this work because this is the only place you ever think about this stuff. Think on paper. No more worrying and ruminating. If you're a worrier, if you're a ruminator, if you're a stewer, if you have low self-esteem, if you worry about forgetting things, if you're busy or overwhelmed, you have zero excuses. You need to be journaling. You fall in one of those buckets and you're not journaling, quit bitching. Be like, I love being a worrier. I love it so much. I'm setting my life up to be one. Journal. It's good for your sleep. All right. Number three, eat when you're hungry. This is not going to be shock and awe, but when we move our body, if our body needs more food, it will ask for it. You do not need to preemptive eat. Like, well, I'm worried I'm going to get hungry in the middle of my workout, so I'm going to eat now. You know what you should do? Work out a few times and notice if you actually get hungry. If that's the case, then plan for a snack if you need one. Do not preemptively, like, what if I run out of energy in my workout? Work out a few times. See if you do. Like, you don't know when you're first starting what kind of an eater you are for workouts. Don't believe the hype. And work out fasted every single day. Why? Because I believed the hype. I tried to eat before workouts, and guess what? It doesn't settle well with me. I perform worse. I have indigestion. I get like nauseous. It never works for me. The only time I ever exercise or ever eat for a workout is if I'm going to be training for more than 90 minutes. Otherwise, I've learned my body. I can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be just like Corinne, but it goes back to doable hunger. It's all about experimenting and learning what your body needs for fuel. So here's the things you got to pay attention to. Your body will scale up and it will scale down based on intensity. Number one, trust that it will. You might miss a few signals in the very beginning, but the more you plan, and then the more you assess and you're honest about what's going on, the more you learn about yourself. So, you know, like week one, here's what happened with my new exercise and stuff. All right. Week two, here's how I'm going to plan food this week based on what I learned last week. Some workouts I need to eat, some workouts I don't. My rule of thumb is you don't need a snack or anything if you're only going to do 60 minutes of less of what I would call hard work. Otherwise, you got fat stores on your body. If you're working out at night, you ate during the day. I work out literally on the empty stomach. I have not ate since 5 or 6 o'clock the night before, and I don't work out till 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. You have more stores on you than you think. Now, when you start going over an hour, when you're training for half marathons, when you're training for maybe 10Ks, if you're like me, a 10K is a 90-minute event for you. If you're training for something aggressive, that's when fueling actually changes. So when we do Don't Stop Believing, we're going to be teaching you about unique fueling for longer durations. But when we're talking about basic exercise, here's what you don't do. You don't eat because you earned it. Like, I watch people do this all the time. Well, I'm going to have a snack because I'm going to work out and you're not even hungry. Try doing it without it first. Let your body be the guide. A lot of people race to eat something the minute they finish exercising, whether they're hungry or not. That's a no. There's nothing bad. Drink your water. I can't believe how many people will eat after a workout for 30 minutes. It's like, no, just drink some water. I guarantee you, your next meal will suffice. There's been so much debunking of that 30-minute post-workout window. Old science. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. Well, let me say this. Let me just make sure y'all do this. Number one, you never eat because you earned it. You exercising isn't earning shit other than your own appreciation. You're earning a body that's going to be able to move in your 80s. You're earning longevity. You're earning cardiovascular fitness. You are not earning a milky bone treat. You're not a dog. You do not get Scooby snacks because you exercised. The fuck are we even talking about? You tell your brain, what the fuck are you talking about? Last I looked, I don't walk on all fours. I'm good. If I'm going to reward myself, how about I try doing it like what the grown-ass woman does? High five, Corinne. I'm glad you showed up today. Tell yourself all the things that this is good for. Thank you, Donna. Donna said, I'm earning bragging rights. Nobody needs to earn an ice cream sundae anymore. Or a cheeseburger. Or I can have wine tonight. No. So, let your body scale with you. But here is what you need to look out for. If you notice you get lightheaded and you're not hungry before workouts, that is your body telling you that you can't wait for hunger. You may need like a banana. If you, if you're like me, sometimes really hard workouts, the more I train. So as I start doing, this happens to me in half marathon training a lot. The day of a long run, it really kills my appetite. Like I can't eat for a long time. So I've had to figure out what are small, palatable foods that I can have, because what I've noticed is if I don't eat all day, then all of a sudden, like my body feels really bad for 2 or 3 days. I'm not giving it something to recover with. And I'm talking about 90 minutes or more of movement at this point. So what I've learned is listening to my body and saying like, okay, my body has suppressed hunger because I worked hard. So now I'm going to listen to my body because I've collected data, and the data tells me I should eat something afterward. And so I usually give myself an hour, because that first hour, I'm likely to throw it back up. After that hour, I eat something palatable. It's usually like a banana. It might be toast with a little cheese on it. It doesn't take much, but just giving your body hydration and a little bit is enough to be like, all right, your body knows what to do. It feels safe. It feels like it can start recovering. It can tap into your own stored calories. We will talk a lot more about the nuances of fueling when you're training for bigger events, when we do DSB. That will be part of the package for DSB. I'm bringing in my best friend, Jane, who is going to be, she is an Ironman athlete. She's a Kona athlete. She's a world half Ironman. She qualifies for like the world events and stuff. She's going to be talking to us a lot about like just nutrition and fueling and where it gets a little different when you train for a long time. But we're talking this month about doable exercise. Doable exercise doesn't require any extra fueling, hardly ever. But for my girls who are listening, if you are having blood sugar issues, that is your body telling you you do need a little extra. So be mindful and plan it. For the rest of us, experiment and never eat because you earned it. Always decide my body knows what to do and it will tell me as long as I'm listening and planning, which brings us into the last one, planning. You know how I make you do a 24-hour plan? We do the same thing in exercise. People who plan their workouts tend to work out more consistently. So I just write them right on my 24-hour plan. The way that I do it is I take my 24-hour plan for the week And on Sunday, I write in, because I don't snack. You can write in anywhere you want, right in the top, but I always just write in the snack section. I write in the snack section what my workouts will be for the week. I plan ahead. By the way, when I'm ready to make my food plan each day, guess what? My workout for the day is staring me in the face, so I ain't going to forget it. And number two, the workout of the day is staring me in the face, so if I want to plan my food differently, knowing what my workout is, it's right there. It's begging me to be like, prioritize me, bitch. So planning works. It also helps, like if you put it on your daily 24-hour plan, it helps you plan that food. I think when it comes to exercise, assessing becomes key. Like you've got to do it. So it's like make your plans. And then every day while as an exerciser, you want to pay attention. What worked? What excuses was I trying to use? What do I need to glean from this? What do I need to learn from this that's going to help me make sure that I'm recovering well, to make sure that I am feeling like my workouts, I'm getting stronger, not weaker. Like, what is my food and assessment? What is it telling me so that I can become a lifelong exerciser? And I don't want anybody, and I'm going to say this, I don't want anybody being an exerciser for weight loss. I want you to be an exerciser for life. I want you to be with me in your 80s and 90s, still getting after it. I want you to be that woman that when you walk into the gym, people say, I want to be her in my 90s. She's lifting weights. She gets around. She's holding the door open for the youngins. She's picking up her shit with ease. She's not having, like, I remember my granny, one of the reasons why it means so much to me to teach y'all how to move. I remember my grandmother. She was not an exerciser. And my granny was just like, she was a spitfire just like me, but she'd have to fall into chairs. She just couldn't hardly bend her knees anymore. She couldn't get up and down out of the floor anymore. And I don't want that for any of us. And for all of my ladies who are here, who are already in their 70s, if that's you, let's get busy on lubricating them joints, doing something to help you get to where, like, you can play with grandbabies. If you want to get in the floor and knit, you can. If you want to do yoga, you can. I just want all of you to be able to do this because, like, I don't want my nobiest women, like, to me, don't lose weight, but then lose your mobility in your later life. That is what I really want for all of us. Like, so today, as you're thinking about, am I going to do this challenge? Am I going to start moving my body? I would rather you sit there and think about, why would it be a good idea? What could I start with? And then I want you to look at your future self. And I want you to think about the quality of life that you want her to have. And what are the little things you can do today so that she gets to have that life? Because us today, it's our responsibility to give her the gift. It's our responsibility to set her up for success. All right. That is your four basics of exercise. You will be seeing a podcast come out soon from me and Jill. So the same podcast, but y'all got the deep cuts version over here. Can't hear it too much. I wanted you to have it because I think it's important for all of you who are going to want to start moving your body inside of No BS that you have some resources for that. All right. Alice is asking, I'm learning to embrace imperfections and mistakes, but I still slip into being punitive sometimes when I screw up. Tips for replacing those punitive thoughts or urges to punish myself. Thanks. Super easy. All you got to do is notice them. Like, just get better at calling yourself out. The moment you notice it, say like, oh, here I am saying these things to myself again. That's okay. I'm learning not to do it. In the moment you catch yourself, that's the best thing to do. You don't have to tell yourself 10 reasons why you're great. You can if you want to. But I think there's two parts to changing your identity and changing your like punitive belief systems, right? Number one is getting better and better at catching yourself when you're doing it and then reminding yourself, hey, I'm glad I'm catching myself faster and faster. Oh, I've caught another one. This is great. I'm learning not to do that anymore. The second part is you do like in your journal. Yes, I've gone digital. In your journal, or you can do it in paper. That is where, like, when you catch those kinds of thinking, that's where you actually do the debunking. So it's like, yesterday I noticed when I made mistakes, I thought these things. So today what I want to do is tell myself, like, when you make mistakes, here's what you want to believe. Here's what that you think about it. Here's what we're going to think about it. That's where you do your prep work. So that eventually what happens is that when you make a mistake, your brain gets really quick to catch your bullshit and it kind of pivots over to the new thinking. You don't need the new thinking to feel better. None of you need new thinking to feel better. The only thing you need is to be able to catch bullshit thinking and be like, that's what I'm working on. I'm working on the version of me that doesn't need to think that anymore. And you move on with your day. And then when you journal, you write about who you want to be. You write about what you want to believe about yourself. You write about like why you are good enough. You write about, this is the mistake I made, and here's what I learned from it. And I'm so grateful for myself for learning. Like, that's where you do the like that kind of work there. All right. What is the digital journal app? Is ain't one. It's called Good Notes. I just handwrite. There's no app. It's Good Notes is, I guess, the app, but I just set up my own stuff in there. So like I've got a prayer journal. I've got my workout calendar in there. I just use their templates. It's not anything special. I took the No BS 60-day planner. You know how we give y'all the PDF? I just exported the PDF straight into Good Notes. I just write on it there. I had so many journals that I needed to get everything into one place because Corinne had literally to go upstairs at night. I had like four different big ass binders that I would carry with me and I'd do all my writing. And I finally got tired of carrying four big ass binders. At the beginning of the month, I overthink and then I find myself in underwhelm when I'm not losing weight or as much as I planned. How can I stop making it more complicated than it needs to be? Penny, that's the question to answer in your journal. How can I stop making it more complicated? So at the beginning of the month, say like, make your plan. And then I would just literally do this. Where have I overcomplicated and I can make it easier? Like when you make your plan for the beginning of the month, you just need to say like, is this actually doable? Or is this me putting a bunch of things on there because I think I should? Is this me doing what I always do? Like, I just have this fantastical idea that I'm going to do all this junk. I never do all this junk. That's good to know. So this month, what would truly doable look like? So if you want to, you can make your complicated ass plan first. Like, oh, this feels so good. Like, every time y'all make a complicated plan, it always feels good. You're scratching some itch inside of you. It's probably thinking like, yeah, when we do this, we're going to lose weight fast. And like your brain gets all crazed up. That's why we do it. We get an emotional payoff or you wouldn't do it. So you'll know, like, this is my knee-jerk plan. Then you go to the other side and say, like, all right, that's what I always do. But realistically, I don't follow it. So how do I make it less complicated? What's easier? What's doable? And let me just tell you, you know what that plan is not going to feel like? Amazing. It's probably going to be like, oh, Penny, not good enough. You'll never lose weight. Boom. It's going to like have a shit fit about it. You're probably on track. That's probably the plan you need to start out with. You need to start out with the not good enough plan. You need to start out with the, you won't, sorry. Swallowed some spit down the wrong way. I got excited. You got to start with the plan that your brain says it's going to take too fucking long. You know what takes a long time? Fantasy land that you quit on and don't do. That takes a long time. So when your brain is just like, Penny, I can't believe you. So like, no, here's what I can't believe. That I'm going to spend another month doing a fantasy land plan. No, I'm not. We're going to do this. We're going to not like it. I'm going to let you bitch and have your heyday. And then we're going to take action. And we're going to do. And every time you try to bitch about it, I'm going to be like, great, you're bitching. I'm probably right on track. So I'm going to do it anyway. That's how you handle it. Jill Angie is the podcast I keep talking about. It's called Not Your Average Runner. Jill's a good friend of mine. She's a fellow master coach, a great person. People will tell you all in the comments. She's got her own membership for running, but you can listen to Jill's podcast, Not Your Average Runner. I don't think our podcasts on the four basics are coming out until, for some reason, I think they're coming out in March. So it'll be a minute, but we've already recorded them. I have a hard time feeling guilty if I skip a workout or don't go ham. I should the shit out of myself with exercise tips for balance. Make a plan. So first make a plan and make sure you're making a plan that has recovery in it. The majority of the people that get pissed if they skip workouts are people who aren't creating plans that actually have rest days and recovery days. And their mindset is, this is what I think happens. Rest days and recovery days are like, well, you really won't like lose weight. If you take a day off, like we tie it to our weight loss. Instead of tying our exercise into like the health benefits, what we're doing for our body, and an important part of exercisers is recovery and true rest. So one way that I skirted the system on this, because I like to move every single day, is I have like a day on the calendar that is just the stretching. Like it is just stretching. It is just like all that. And I'm like, all right, you know, if you push every day, your knees ain't gonna feel good. Your hips not gonna feel good. You actually have to plan this. So when I'm sitting there and stretching, I tell myself, this is exercise. And I had to stop making the exercise have anything to do with the weight loss. That's what compels us often to want to do it every single day. And the other thing is that when you exercise, like you have to become someone who thinks about their body and what is it telling them. So I always have a plan. I have gotten really good at knowing the difference between when is Corinne, she needs to move a recovery day to here. When is my body actually saying this is not a good day to move? Like just go for a walk or just do your stretching today. Or like even one day last week, I was like, I need a complete day off. It's a no. I could just tell. And I had a run plan for that day. And I was like, no, everything, like my body felt like when I got out of bed, like I was dragging brick-o blocks behind me. And I just said, I'm not doing anything today. I know the difference because it's like I've checked in with my body on how it's feeling and what it needs versus I don't feel like it. I just don't want to. It's very emotionally based. When I don't feel like it, I'm not like sitting there going like, how's everything feel? I'm not doing a body scan. I'm not thinking about like, okay, you know, what could the rest of the week look like? Like it's not intentional. It's very unintentional. So just being really good at knowing when am I shitting out because I just don't want to? And when have I actually consulted with my body and consulted with what's going on and we've decided what's in our best interest? How do you handle exercise when you're sick? I'm coming off COVID and still dealing with lethargy. Kelly Young, I get you. I never could, like this was at the height of not being able to get a test, but a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure I had COVID. Logan never got it. Chris got it, but Chris, I don't even understand this. I exercise. I drink my water and I eat like a healthy motherfucker. I'm sick for a week. And then like, you know, having to deal with like the post, I'm like getting your energy back and stuff. Chris Crabtree, in 48 hours, is back to normal. I was like, son of a bitch. No rhyme or reason here. I digress. So you just come back slowly. Every single day you consult with your body. Like when I was sick, I was not exercising. There was a couple of days when I was sick, the weather was nice outside, and I went outside and I walked for 10 minutes to get fresh air. It was not Corinne trying to exercise. It was like, I really need to breathe some fresh air. I need to like get out of my bed. I need to do those things. It felt like I needed it. It felt medicinal. It felt therapeutic. There's a difference between that and feeling like I have to, I should. So always look for the nuances there. The other thing is, as I was coming back, I really tamped down everything. Everything. I like every day I went into each workout saying, I'm going to do what my body says feels good. I'm going to take it as easy as I need. And I'm going to celebrate myself for getting things going again. It's just a lot of like how you think about your body. So I'm morbidly obese and I'm not in a lot of pain just walking around to get to the bathroom. So how do I stop beating up myself for getting to where I am? Even though Kimberly, it's the same thing. To make sure, here's what I would do, Kimberly. How do I quit beating myself up? It's what I was talking about earlier. You have to catch yourself when you're doing it in the moment, and then you pivot and you say, like, I'm really glad I'm catching this kind of language. I'm really glad that I'm catching myself when I do this. I'm really glad I'm catching these thoughts that, like, you know, I've regained weight and I'm going to stop that conversation dead in its tracks. Then I need you journaling on why you don't need to beat yourself up anymore. On what you do want to tell yourself, on what you want to believe about yourself, on what you're doing for yourself today, on what your dreams and your goals are. It's a much better use of your time. All right, everybody, that's it. I think that was great. That was fast. I can't believe it. It was 1 hour of power. Y'all have a good one. Coach Jay, my bestie in the world. She is flying into town today, and she and I will be, we are redoing the Binge Better course and turning it into the Trust Your Body course. So we are doing all the things, and we will be filming while she's here. So we're super excited. It'll be 4 days of work. I'm sure a lot of problem solving, laughing, and all the things. So I look forward to seeing y'all on Sunday. Bye, y'all.